This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm always glad and excited that all of you guys decided to hopefully get a cup of coffee and join with me today in this podcast, and I'm always looking forward to speaking to many of you. And by the way, before I start, I wanted to tell each and every one of you that I've got a dynamic package. I tell you, we've sold hundreds of these packages. It's really blown my mind of how many packages we've sold of this. But it's basically called Power to Create Package. Power to Create Package. And the Power to Create Package actually has four books and an extra bonus music CD to it. And these four books are Power Traction, Creating with Your Thoughts, Super A Natural Attraction and Co-Creation, and the other one is Manifesting the Life You Desire. And that book alone, actually, you can't buy anywhere else, is actually locked into this series of Power to Create Package. So I want to encourage all of you guys, if you're really serious about manifesting, creating, attracting, which God's given us those rights to do, and needing to know how to manifest your faith and watch it materialize in the natural, which faith is supposed to do, true faith does, then I want to encourage you guys, go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and just put in Power to Create Package in our search engine, and it'll pull up automatically. And I'll autograph the books for you before my staff sends them out to you in the mail. How's that? So I want to encourage all of you guys to go get that new package, Power to Create Package. You guys are going to love it. So today on the podcast, I want to talk about basically overcoming the fear of life. Overcoming the fear of life. You know, a lot of times people don't realize, you know, I don't have any fear. But a lot of times we have fears of things that subconsciously get blocked and locked back there that we're not aware of. And so we find ourselves sort of sabotaging ourselves a lot of times, thinking, what's going on? How come I can't tend to move forward? What's going on with me in this situation? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And we think that we've already overcome fear. But the truth is, a lot of times there's subconscious fear locked in the back of our mind that keeps us from progressing forward, that keeps us from moving into glory to glory, moving into the place where we know we are co-creators and we're not afraid of change. Do you know the number one thing here in America, probably around the world too, that people fear the most is change? Because everyone wants comfortable, everybody wants to know what's going on, they want to know how everything works and ticks and the ups and the downs to it, because it makes us feel comfortable. Therefore, it tells us our limitations, it tells us our boundaries, it tells us what to do with this thing. You know, if I have, for example, a bicycle, I learn how to ride a bike, and all of a sudden, you know, I start off with training wheels as a child, and I'm like, okay, I got this. And the moment I start doing that, I have to get used to what that bike will do. Will that bike hold me up without the training wheels, or would it hold me up with it? You know, my feet touch the ground in case I go too fast. You know, my feet, you know, if I can put my feet on the pedals, will the bike balance itself enough to take me down the road? And so once I figured it all out, then guess what? There's no fear. There's no problem. Because I know if something happens, I know how to put the brake on. I can put my feet on the ground because I can touch it. You know, I got training wheels, or I don't have training wheels, so I know I won't tump over, or I know how fast I can go. So I master the art of riding a bicycle as a kid. And there's no fear there, right? And a lot of times in life, we tend to feel as if we are moving by faith and not by sight, and I'm just going further, and we know how to talk our Christianese language. But basically what we're saying is, at that moment of our lives, my life is so comfortable. I know how everything works. I'm very familiar with my home. I know the odds and ends to it. I know how much I owe my home. I know if I'm even near debt, in debt, or if I've paid in advance. I know what car I drive. I know that car is safe. It's new. Or, you know, I know my spouse is awesome. My spouse won't cuss me out or hit me or whatever. And so you look at your life and you think, man, all is well. I'm moving by faith. But are you really? Are you really moving by faith? and not by sight? Are you really moving by something that is basically walking on the water of things you don't know? See, if you know everything about your life, here's the key thing people don't realize. When you tend to know every little jot and tittle about your life, you're really not walking by faith, if you think about it. Faith is something that we ask the question to God, why? Why do I need to walk by faith? What's so important that, like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why on earth, God, would I need to incorporate constantly in my life the unseen? Why do I have to constantly create this sort of challenge to me to walk by something that I don't know anything about? Why is it so important for me? I believe because God created us to be creatures of habit, but I also believe that God created us to be creatures where we're humans, creatures, for lack of better words, where we understand that it's healthy balance for us mentally and spiritually and relationally and socially to begin to not be afraid to constantly walk on the water. Let me just explain to you why. If we didn't walk by faith and we said, what's the big deal, God? Seriously, I mean, why is it so important to you that I get in my surroundings that some things I like and or know about and some things I don't know about? Why is it so important to you, God? If you think about it, if we did not walk by faith and we sort of found ourselves in that place where we're comfortable with our friends, we're comfortable with our environment, and I mean, why not? And what's the big deal? Seriously, think about that. What is so wrong with me knowing my environment? What is so wrong with me knowing every person, every place, everything? I know how everything works. I know what makes people mad, what makes people sad, what makes them glad. I know all the stuff. So what is the big deal? How is that hurting me so bad, God? The truth is, if you look at it from that angle, you'll find where you really don't need faith. You'll find where I'm comfortable, so what's the big deal? But you also will find the fact that after a while, being comfortable tends to be leading to complacency. Complacency, after a while, will lead to very basically laziness. And then when you continue to spiral down, you'll find eventually where depression will set in. Think about that. You will find yourself depressed because being comfortable, there's nothing at all wrong with being comfortable. But it's the same thing as a diabetic who knows how to handle their sugar. When you know how to handle your sugar and your intake, then you know what? You're going to be fine. When you don't and you allow the extremity of sugar to get into your system, you're going to go into a diabetic coma, correct? And so think about it from the angle of everything of great access, everything that is an extremity always tends to be harmful to all of us. If I walk by faith all day long and I don't even know tonight where I'm going to sleep, I just walk by faith. I don't have a car to drive. I have no home. I have no friends. I'm just like totally extreme on faith. I'm just going to hope and pray that something shows up tonight for me to sleep on and shows up for me to eat on. That sounds delicious, doesn't it? It sounds great because, hey, why not, man? I mean, I'm just like got no worries, got no bills. What's the big deal? But what's extreme about that is you need a little comfortable in your life. You need a little things you can socialize with of things you know about. It's healthy for you. There's nothing wrong with knowing your world. That's why we talk about metron, sphere of influence, because we know our sphere of influence. If you didn't know your sphere of influence and you just sort of walked by faith and just didn't really care, didn't think about it, you're not going to influence anybody. Nothing in your life is going to be done. So you have to have a balance here to know what blind faith is in a lot of areas of your life where you just throw it out there, you cast your nets upon the deep, and you just hope and pray that this is where God told you to cast your net out, and you're going to hope and pray you're going to catch a lot of fish. You just hope and pray, if I walk upon the water of believing God for this new job, I'm going to get it, right? That's healthy for you. It's healthy for you. The balanced life of walking by faith and also understanding that I don't have to go to extreme with it, that I actually can enjoy my life of things that I do know that there's nothing wrong with, then life tends to be a little bit more balanced, but also brings a little bit more of an identity issue, of a strength in your identity, I should say. Because when you have a strength in your identity, then you realize, wow, you know what? It's okay for me to know a lot of things. It's okay for me not to know a lot of things because I'll have the peace that surpasses my natural understanding. So the things I don't know that I'm walking my faith on, that challenges me to keep and maintain my peace. Because peace is not always found in the midst of things that I know about. Peace can also be found in the things I don't know about. And therefore, if things I don't know about on the other 50% side of my brain, the other 50% I don't know about, I can sort of not force peace, but I can invite peace to be present in things I don't know about and be perfectly fine with it. Why? Because it helps my personality. It helps me to be able to just trust some areas. I mean, if I did not have faith, or maybe let's say, for example, if God didn't require us to have faith and it wasn't dealt to every man the grain of a mustard seed type of faith, and I just got very comfortable. Think of it this way. You might be comfortable right now with your children, your house, your car, but somewhere, way before all that began, you couldn't even take a step of faith to have children, to date, even to have a home. Because even as a child, if faith wasn't a part of our daily life, if faith wasn't actually ingrained in us already, imagine this. What if God removed the seed of the mustard seed of faith inside of us? What if He removed that from everyone? And by the way, let me just say this. Let me just tear up some sacred cows for a lot of you people. It's so ironic to me that you look at faith and you hear how God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. So Buddhists have faith. Muslims have faith. Atheists and agnostics and Satanists have faith. Hello. It is dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every human being has faith. And yet it's funny how we classify people and classify things when God says, I'm the light of every man. I've dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's so ironic how we as Christians feel as if we're the only ones with faith, but yet we struggle paying our power bill. We struggle and we always go to the altar for prayer all the time. Why is that? Because you don't have like a faith. It doesn't mean you can't ask for prayer, but it means, you know, don't claim something as a spiritual giant when you know the truth is you're not really that spiritual giant. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. And so my point being is the measure of faith right now that actually is given to us, to all humanity, is just enough faith for us to dare to believe, dare to have faith, dare to date, dare to buy my first home, dare to buy my first car, dare to get my driver's license. You know, so that measure of faith gets me through life where I can just be guaranteed that my feet are going to take me where I need to go. If I didn't even have an ounce of faith in me, that God ripped it out of humanity, then you know what? There's no telling what would happen to us. We would be really dummies, probably still in diapers, you know, not afraid to trust ourselves to even get up and I can go to the restroom by myself. Think about that. Because every man's dealt a measure of faith that gets us through the daily grind of life, that kind of faith. So we have to have that type of faith. And our faith needs to grow. But the fear in our lives that we don't tend to pay attention to, that we have to be again overcome, that moves us closer and further into a deeper realm of faith to live more of an abundant life than just the life God's given us, are things such as fear of failure. And the truth is, there's not one person listening to me, thousands of you listening to my voice, that can't honestly say you've never had a failure. It is destined for you to have a failure. Can I say this truthfully? I'm prophesying right now failure to every one of you. You're like, oh, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Well, you can't, because everybody in humanity is going to fail. Everybody in humanity is going to cry. Everyone in humanity, once in your life, you're going to be rejected by somebody. Once in your life, you're going to be unloved by somebody. It doesn't mean, oh, no, God promised me a bed of roses. My life is going to be perfect. Sad enough, that's not true. And the Bible makes it plain that in this life there'll be trials, there'll be tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to fail. You are going to fall. You're going to hit your face flat on the ground, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't prophesy it away. You can't claim it, name it, and decree it away. It's just life, because these things are incorporated in our lives, and that's where that measure of faith that God's given us bounces back to say, you know what? I can get up again. I can do this again. So everyone has a fear of faith, a failure, but you can overcome that fear of failure. And when you go back to those areas that you did fall in, you know, the pit holes that you did fall in, and find yourself at a place where you can spiritually and mentally get yourself out of that hole, where you can look at your life and realize, you know what, that might have happened once, but I can get up and try again. Don't allow the fear of failure to set into your life. And when you realize that everybody's failed, everybody has fallen, everybody's been rejected, you're not the only one. And that's when you begin to realize that, you know, life is actually not as bad as I thought it was. And this failure can begin to turn around for a victory for mine. So you know what? It's okay. It's water off a duck's back. I can get up, dust myself off, and move into this again, and keep on and keep on and keep on until I succeed. Another fear is fear of success. I speak to people all the time in life coaching sessions who also say, you know, well, it's not destined for me to have this type of job. job that I like. It's, you know, I should have a job that I don't like. Doesn't everybody have a job they don't like? No, that's not true. I tend to love my job. I love what I do with a passion. I love life coaching. I love prophesying. I love writing books. Is it stressful at times? Sure it is. But I love that. But my joy comes from my giftings flowing through me and that in which I love to do. And same for you. You can begin to be successful. Don't find yourself fearful that you will never be successful. You'll never have a finer home, a nicer life, a lot of friends, a beautiful wife, a gorgeous husband, children, you know, whatever it is. You've got to remember that success is waiting for you. We are destined to be people of success because of the fact that in us is the power of life and death. And we're more than conquerors. We're more than overcomers. And so because of that, it is destined for you to succeed. But you have to talk yourself happy. You not just talk yourself happy on an emotional level. You have to begin to realize, you know what? I have it in me just like Bill Gates has in him. I have it in me like anyone else on planet Earth who has made success a part of their life. And success doesn't always come by just money. Success can come in joy. Success can come in loving the job that I do. Success can come in paying my bills off. Success can be I have a wife or husband and children, and guess what? That's my success, because that's where my joy comes from, my giftings flow. So success, when you learn to know yourself and your identity, then success will begin to be defined by you. And but when you begin to take on other people's success by compare yourself by keeping up with the Joneses and always saying, wow, he's got this, I wish I had that, you know what? You will never be successful because you've lost your identity. You cannot have success without knowing yourself. You just can't. You cannot have success without knowing your identity. Identity is where success comes from. And once you know thyself, then success is destined to begin to be part of you because identity brings forth success. Success comes from knowing your identity. Are you with me? So another one people tend to fear in life is the fear of death. So many people fear death. You know, oh, I'm afraid. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Well, here's the key thing. When we blend in law of attraction, all of this, it's perfect because law of attraction can begin to show us how we can attract lively things. We can live an abundance of life that God wants us to live by attracting and focusing on thinking upon things that God wants us to think on that are praiseworthy and honorable and overcoming and full of joy and good reports. Those are things we need to focus on to attract more of that. But fear is going to come in at times, and you're going to have to learn to harness that power to cast it down. And casting down that vain imagination of fear is going to be one of your situations you need to, because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you've got power in you to cast down fear. You've got the word it says, fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of, a power of fear, but of faith. Are you with me? Check this out. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So faith lets me know I've got a sound mind. Faith lets me know I've got a power in me. Are you with me? Faith lets me know that I have the renewed mind of Christ in me, so therefore I have peace, so I'm not worried about anything. That's what faith begins to cause you to do, and faith begins to show you, you know what? You don't have to fear. You've got power in you. You've got a sound mind in you. And those are the key elements you have to begin to realize that you've got what it takes to cast down fear. And you shouldn't fear death. Death is inevitable. Whether we like it or not, you know what? One day, here's the morbid truth. You are going to die. And I'm going to die. And we hate to say that, but the truth is you're going to die one day. Your parents, unfortunately, are going to die. When my father passed away 6 years ago, can't even believe it's been that long. It's blowing my mind. 6 years ago. And every day I miss him. Every day I long to be with him. And there's times sometimes I want to shed a tear because I miss talking to him, calling him on the phone, going to see him and my mom, which my mom's alive. Thank God for that. I'm so thankful for that. And we have to begin to realize that, you know, that when that happened, I need to take it in and begin to realize, you know what, people are going to get old and people are going to die. But you don't have to allow fear to set into you, Jeremy. You've got to learn to bless it and realize that in this life, there'll be trials, tribulations, there'll be birth, and there'll be death. And through that, you know what? You have to be okay with that. And I've learned to be okay with that because of the fact I cannot allow sadness and sorrow and depression. I can't allow that to set into me. I don't want to attract that. I want to begin to set my life up to where I am fearless in my life. And when fear comes, I just tackle it. I know how to hit it head on because I don't need anything subconsciously embedded in me that would stop me and block me from living a progressive life that God wants me to live. These are great, powerful tools I want you to begin to understand today. And I want to say this to you guys as well as I come to a close today. Is one of the books I think will really help you guys out. If you go to the website identitynetwork.net, and by the way, definitely get that Power to Create package. You guys would love it. I would encourage all of you, when you go to the website, you can also put in our search engine, Getting Out of Your Rut. It's a very extremely powerful book that has set a lot of people free, and I believe it's going to set you free. I believe it'll totally help you and sort of push you in the direction you need to go. So in the search engine, put in Getting Out of Your Rut. Getting out of your rut. Rut is just R-U-T. Getting out of your rut. And when you do that, press the search button. It's going to pull up one of my best-selling books called Getting Out of Your Rut. And it also is accompanied by two of my teachings. So I want to encourage you guys to get that today. Getting Out of Your Rut will give you the book. It'll tell you how to begin to get out of the rut, to get out of that paradigm, that mindset you're in, how to change your life from nothing's moving, nothing's like energy flowing, and this will change your life completely in the way you need to go. So put in Getting Out of Your Rut and get that book and order the two CDs. It's a package deal, and I'll make sure I autograph the book for you guys and send it out today to you guys by my staff. So you guys have a blessed day today, and we'll talk to you next week. And don't forget to go and create your reality today. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.